Today is Friday, May 8th. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. Financiers, politicians, and a swath of the corporate and media worlds congregated in an ever-tighter Beverly Hills Hilton for 4 days for what can only be called Milken Fest. More efficient than Davos and leaning more heavily on finance, Michael Milken's global conference, now in its 29th year, attracts the business and financial elite without any pretenses to save the world. Though a theme the Milken Institute is focusing on is restoring the American dream. Speaking of the American dream, Ken Griffin's Citadel once again kicked off the event with a cocktail party Sunday night before everyone went to their respective dinners. Ken responded to New York City socialist Mayor Mamdani's awful video, if you haven't seen. There were rooftop parties, dinners with the great and the good, Santa Barbara Sea Smoke Pinot Noir and Metta glasses, sugarfish sushi, and listening and learning from the most brilliant people in the world. America's technological and finance industries are the envy of the world, and the world showed up. There was a poignant start Monday morning at the kickoff panel, moderated by CNBC's David Faber, when Waleed Al-Mokarrab Al-Muhairi, Deputy Group CEO of Mubadala, the UAE Sovereign Wealth Fund, thanked the audience and others in the finance community for reaching out to him after Iran launched a drone attack against the UAE. A consistent theme was the enormous business and financial implications of AI and how that will drive years of growth in the financial markets and private capital market, given the $10 trillion expected to be spent, and how the U.S. economy remains the envy of the world. "Private credit is filling a market need that is inexorable," said Jim Zelter, president of Apollo, at the kickoff panel. A theme was the American economy's exceptionalism, notwithstanding inflation risk from energy and fertilizer prices rising, tariffs and 6% plus mortgage rates. Lot of trash talking about Europe's dysfunction, while plenty of bullishness on Korea, India, Japan, and China. "China's the fitness center of the world," said Zelter. There was consensus at another great panel that included Ruth Porat of Alphabet, Dina Powell-Mack Cormick of Meta, Senators Bill Hagerty and Mark Warner that the hyperscalers have a PR problem in communities around the country, despite this being yet another American innovation that they all agreed needs to flourish. The impact on jobs, the need for exorbitant amounts of power and energy, and worries of the unknown. "There's a pessimism lock," bemoaned Ruth. Added Dina, "There's not enough communications from business leaders." Mike Milken did a number of great interviews and panels, and presides over this conference of 5,000 people, as the wise professor knowing that he spawned giant firms birthed from the hallways and ashes of Drexel Burnham Lambert, from Apollo, which itself birthed Ares, Canyon, to Crescent Capital, GoldenTree, Cerberus, Jefferies and Moelis and others. At Milken's Tuesday morning panel on credit, itself a masterclass, Tony Minella, CEO of Eldridge Capital Management, gave an extraordinary anecdote about his firm's use of Claude. He said the firm's work is done via Slack, and embedded in Slack is Claude. On a recent stock purchase agreement, they inputted all the documents in Claude to analyze the deal and help frame the issues before a call to their lawyers were made. "Every business model is going to have to change," Minella said. See Sebastian Niles' letter on this topic about law firms. "In college, we used to chug beer. Now we chug Claude." No Milken is complete without hearing from the brilliant and funny Kristalina Georgieva, the IMF's Bulgarian-born chief, who admitted to the audience, "I worry for a living." She was giving a pep talk to her staff and summed it up: AI or die. Have a great weekend, GPP team. Now, let's turn to activism. Frin the deal, impactive slate to join Wexboard in AGM Eve settlement. On the eve of its AGM, WEX settled with Impactive, seating all three dissident nominees, including Lauren Taylor Wolfe, splitting the CEO chair roles, and dropping one director after ISS and Glass Lewis backed the activists' divestiture and governance push. It's noteworthy, given WEX had made personal attacks against Wolfe in shareholder communications and said she had a conflict of interest. From the Wall Street Journal, how the Trump administration became an activist investor. The administration has adopted an activist invest model, taking stakes or golden shares in at least 10 firms and pursuing equity-linked deals in critical minerals companies to counter China in a controversial, unique blend of industrial policy, market intervention, and executive power. Also from the Wall Street Journal, Gunmakers reach cooperation pact after months of tense proxy battle. Strum, Ruger, and Beretta ended their proxy fight with a cooperation deal allowing Beretta to raise its stake to up to 25% via a potential $44.80 per share partial tender, nominate up to two independent directors, and accept a three-year standstill voting largely with the board. Next up, mergers and acquisitions. The saga of GameStop and eBay. Wall Street buzzed about GameStop's bid to control eBay, as well as Ryan Cohen's interview with CNBC as part of its rollout. Matt Levine dissects GameStop's audacious $56 billion bid, noting the company would need to issue more stock than it's actually authorized to print. Cohen also discussed the deal on CNBC, where his response to questions about how the math works, the details are on the website, had the deal world a Twitter. From the Financial Times, the law firm that shaped Wall Street and the world, the FT's Sujit Indap and Oliver Barnes wrote a fascinating piece about Wachtell, its success, and how the firm is adapting its compensation and leadership while navigating an increasingly competitive, star-driven market. And finally from Reuters, crypto exchange Bullish to buy Equiniti for $4.2 billion in capital markets push. Bullish will acquire transfer agent Equiniti as it looks to remove the primary barrier to institutional adoption of blockchain-based settlement. Moving on to corporate governance news. A Simpson-Thatcher memo notes, the SEC has proposed optional semi-annual reporting via a new Form 10-S in place of three 10-Qs, elected annually on the 10-K with the same 40 to 45-day deadlines, as part of Chair Paul Atkins's push to spur public listings. Count us skeptical. Turning to IPO news, CNBC reports. AI chipmaker Cerebras targets $3.50 billion raise in IPO. Cerebras first attempted to go public in 2024, terminating the process as its business shifted away from hardware and toward cloud services. The public offering would value Cerebras at an estimated $26.6 billion. From our desk to yours. A recent visit to Jua, Chef Hoyoung Kim's one Michelin-starred love letter to modern Korean cuisine in the Flatiron District, did not disappoint. Tucked away on East 22nd Street in a sleek, intimate space, Jua offers a seven-course tasting menu that somehow manages to leave you surprisingly full, a feat not to be taken lightly in the world of fine dining. We began with the now legendary caviar Kim, and yes, the hype is very much deserved. If anyone tells you it's one of the best bites in New York City, believe them. The mulho followed, a chilled, spicy stew that was bracingly fresh and wholly satisfying, a bright reminder of just how vibrant Korean flavors can be. The juk, a refined take on the classic rice porridge, was surprisingly rich and deeply comforting. Think elevated Korean home cooking. Before a beautifully executed branzino arrived with skin so perfectly crisped, it nearly earned a star of its own. The Wagyu and Chan was a fitting centerpiece, tender, smoky, and layered with traditional Korean flavors, courtesy of Chef Kim's signature wood-fire technique. We finished on a high note with the strawberry course and the goguma juak, a glazed Korean sweet potato donut that served as a delightful send-off. At $150 per person, Jua delivers one of the more memorable tasting menu experiences in the city, and in open tabs this week. The Financial Times, KKR at 50. It used to be easy in the old days. The New Yorker, the unlikely rescue of Timmy. The stranded whale. The New York Times, Ted Turner, creator of CNN and the 24-hour news cycle, dies at 87. In upcoming events, May 13th at 2 p.m. Eastern, expert webcast. Global shareholder activism trends, roundtable, virtual, June 6th to 9th. NERI Annual Conference, Chicago, Illinois, June 10th to 11th, FT Outstanding Directors Exchange, New York, New York. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.